Good evening and welcome to Digging Deeper on Living Faith Television on this wonderful Christmas weekend. We are so excited to be able to come into your homes with the Word of God today and just thankful that you're willing to sit and to look at God's Word with us and to begin to learn a little more about Him today. I want to begin with a story today. A father, he gave his little girl $2. And he told that little girl, he said, you can do whatever you want with one of those dollars. But the other dollar, you have to give it to God. And so the little girl, she got excited and she rushed off with excitement to the candy store. And as she ran, she fell down. And it was raining, so one of the dollar bills slipped out of her hand and washed right on down the drain. And as she looked up, she says, well, there goes your dollar, God. And she was prepared to take her dollar on to the candy store and buy whatever she so desired. Well, I want to read to you a passage today out of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, starting there in verse 1 today. Let's go ahead and look at God's word. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father God, we're thankful today for your Son, whom you sent to this earth, Father, to be a sacrifice for our sins. Father, we know that we're unworthy on our own, but we're thankful that you provided a way for us to get to heaven. And Father, in saying that, I pray that each one of us listening would be encouraged today to live a life for you. Father, that we wouldn't become any old way, but we would begin to live in a manner that would please you, a manner that would uplift you. Father, may we understand that each thing you have given us, each gift you have given us, Father, each blessing you have bestowed upon our lives, Father, it doesn't come from us. It comes from you. And Father, because of that, we know that you have complete and total control of our lives. Father, may we give that control to you today. May we allow ourselves to be led by you. And I say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. I want to look at some aspects of Jesus here. First, let's look at verse 7. It says, he made himself of no reputation. So, he made it so that he didn't get anything from the deal, if you will. People didn't say, look at all he's doing. Look at how amazing he is. I like the next words. They really make you think. It says, he took upon the form of a servant. You know, the definition of a servant is someone who does things for others. Jesus took on that role. He took on the role of a servant. And he made it a point to do other things for other people. The biggest of all being that he died on Calvary's cross for our sins. And that even in the end of what has been done for mankind, what we learn is that Jesus cared for his people immensely. You see, Jesus was not only a king, Jesus was a servant. Healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry. The list goes on and on. And I've quickly concluded that we are often a selfish race. Even as Christmas is here, when we feel at our most generous, sometimes we have created a holiday that revolves around possessions. Now, don't get me wrong, Christmas presents can be good, and sitting around the tree with your family can be exciting and fun, and it could even show generosity and love. But the issue comes when it's the only thing that really matters. You know, there's a story of a man, and the story goes a little bit like this. The story is told that a man had a horrible dream, and he said, "I dreamed that the Lord took my Sunday offering, multiplied it by 10, and this became my weekly income." Now, this was a horrible dream for him because as time went on, he lost his most cherished of possessions. He had to give up his new car. He couldn't make the house payments. And before you know it, he was homeless. As all that transpired, the man said, "After all, what can you really do with $10 a week?" Some of us get stingy. We want to give other people the second best. We want to give God what makes us happy, not what makes Him happy. And because of this, we often fail to serve the man who came to this earth with a complete servanthood purpose. And so God has called each one of us into that same servanthood. Many of us, if you'll notice, are hesitant to give to a panhandler or an organization because we don't know every detail, and that's very understandable. But I'm not telling you to make unwise decisions with your finances. Your generosity is really a decision for you. What I'm telling you is the opposite. I am pleading to you that each of you be a good steward of God's gift to you, as He has blessed you immensely with finances and with possessions and whatever He has given you. Be a good steward of that. Don't make unwise decisions, give in a way that would be pleasing unto God. It's our spiritual responsibility that God has given us to share what we have been blessed with in the kingdom of God. Now, it isn't really our place to be stingy. It isn't our place to say, "What's going to happen to that money after we give it? What's going to happen to that possession after we give it?" And it's certainly not our place to hold that possession on our own and away from God, because it isn't our possession. Once we've done what God has told us to do, the rest isn't our problem. We want to cheat God in a sense sometimes, though. "God, I know what's best for me. God, I know what's best for my finances. God, I know what's best for my giving. God, I know what's best for the possessions you've given me." Paul gives warnings to many. And I think there's one particular warning he gave to Timothy that we can all apply to this, especially this time of year. In doing so, I want to consider the thought, where is my treasures? In verse 17 and 19 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul tells Timothy this, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they are not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they are rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." I want you to think today, and though your finances are really between you and God, I want you to consider as you sit in your own homes, your finances. Where do you put your riches today? For many of us, we could say that we put our riches into a 401k and we're preparing for the future. That is one way to be a good steward of God's money in our own life, to prepare for the future so we can do His work and not have to worry about what's next. Or many of you may put it in a savings account and lay your treasures up there. And perhaps you even store some riches and some possessions in your safe at home. You know, I think we can get a little stingy sometimes, though. Let's look in depth at Paul's warning here to Timothy with money. In verse 17, he said, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they are not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." So these people that Timothy and Paul had been talking about, that Timothy had been warned about, they were more likely not as rich as you might think. You know, in Paul's day, there was only three classes of people. There was slaves, middle class, and rich people. Now, almost all of us, by Paul's standards of rich, would fall into this category of what it means to be rich. So, if we fall into the category of rich in Paul's time, we really all fall into the category of 1 Timothy 6 if we're not willing to change it. You might say, how can I change it? Well, as we begin to look at the word here, almost all of us, by Paul's standards, live this rich life, but how is it that we can maintain this very blessed standard of life God has given us and still praise Him with our possessions? That's the question we must ask. On a holiday that was once to celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world, but has become an opportunity to buy more stuff, how can we please God? Verse 18, Paul states what the proper Christian should look like, in particular, in one phrase, which he says, to be generous and ready to share. So how can we compensate for this, really, idea of entitlement that many American people have, that we have an expectation to get more, receive more possessions, more gifts, more money? How can we compensate for that? Well, you see, really the only way that we can fix that issue is by being people of God who are generous, who are willing to evaluate our generosity, evaluate our finances. Most of us would say, yes, I'm a very generous person, but I want us to be open-minded. And I want us all to ask ourselves, are we generous really? I have a question for many of the cooks that are watching. If I'm following a recipe and the recipe calls for 3/4 of a cup of flour, but I only have 1/4 of a cup of flour, is that recipe going to turn out right? That's right, it's not. Each of us have heard the phrase, if it's worth doing, it's worth overdoing, or it's worth doing right. However, many of us give less than the best to everyone else. We get up from the couch to get a piece of pie, and our spouse says, get me a piece too. Okay, sure, honey. We go to the dish only to realize that there's just 2 pieces remaining. One is slightly larger than the other. So what are we going to do? Well, the reality is that sometimes we decide to give the biggest piece to our spouse. If we want a piece of pie, many of us will choose the larger piece, or at least consider the larger piece. We want to keep the best for ourselves and leave the rest for others. It's our tendencies. We are to look toward that help, and we should not only try to help those in need, not only try to be generous, not only try to display a manner of generosity to our church, but we should treat this world around us as an opportunity to worship God through our generosity. I ask you this today, if somehow we've made ourselves believe that we are of a higher standard than Jesus. I think one of the big problems with people that Timothy was warned about wasn't the money that they possessed. It was the failure to realize that Jesus was the reason that they had the money to start with. It was their failure to realize that if they lost every single dime, that if they lost all their riches, it was a faith failure, not a money failure. Being rich wasn't the problem, the lack of faith was. One of the problems we often display is making it our problem, what everyone else is doing. It's our responsibility to only follow in the will of God and nothing other than that. One of the most significant ways we can do just that is through our generosity. Generous to our church, generous to God's kingdom. Verse 18 in the scripture from Timothy says that they do good, that they are rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Scripture states that God will take care of us with or without money, with or without the possessions. We fail to answer God's call because we often think that we know what's best, sometimes forgetting that without Him, we would find ourselves completely hopeless. I think we often get to a place where we are selfish and we forget that God already should have completely left us, but He didn't. He gave us an opportunity for redemption through Him. So the question that should be asked today is simple. What do you give the man who gave his life for the sins of the entire world? Well, friends, you give him the only thing he's asked for. You give him your life. You give him a presence in your life. You listen to his will and command. So you may ask now, as we approach Christmas, you ask, how can we overcome the issue that we are facing of entitlement, the issue of I want more, the issue of give me, give me, give me? How can we conquer that? Well, friends, the only way that we can really conquer that is to live our life for Christ. You see, we have to give God the ability to direct us, the ability to lead us. Friends, we have to give God the ability to live within our lives and dwell within us. No matter what He has given us, no matter what He has blessed us with, no matter where we find ourselves today, be it in a small amount or be it in a large amount, if we live for Him, we're blessed immensely. And if we begin to falter in that, if we begin to forget that, we've already lost half the battle. He is our master and we are His followers. And if we fail to be a follower of His in hope of the possession of the world, in hope of the riches of the world, friends, how is it that we could ever repay Him in any way, shape, or form, even a little bit? Friends, make sure today that we are living a life that is pleasing unto God, a life in which we're not focused on the riches of the world. We're just trying to please our God. So today, as you approach Christmas, would you remember to always be generous, be loving, that it's not yours to start with. It's God's. As He has blessed you over and over, make sure you are always confident in where your blessings come from. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before You, Father, just thankful for the opportunity to read Your Word again. Father, to understand what You've done for us. Father, and I pray today that You would help us to see that the riches of the world, Father, they won't take us nowhere. Father, the blessings You have given us are so great that we never forget what You have done for us and that You are our Savior and our Lord.